Hello, everyone. Welcome to our weekly Course in Miracles study group. I'm so excited you all are here. Let's begin our call with dropping into a quiet space together. So if we're moving around at all, just pausing and seeing if we can just connect with our sense of willingness. Our willingness to see differently, our willingness to let Holy Spirit lead the way. And no matter how small that willingness might feel, that's all we need, just a smidgen, a tiny amount of willingness. And in your mind, imagining turning to Holy Spirit within and actually offering that willingness to Spirit, knowing that it will be used for the highest good. This holy instant, we give to you. Be you in charge, for we would follow you, certain that your direction gives us peace. If we need a word, a thought, or a tranquil, open mind, these are the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives. And we place Holy Spirit in charge tonight by our request, trusting that we will read what we need to read, we'll hear what we need to hear, and we'll shift however it is that we need to shift. Because in truth, there's no shifting needed at all. And having willingness to be open to experiencing the truth of that right now. So taking a nice deep breath in and out. And coming together to our perception of right here, right now. So we are going to just do a little bit of rereading. We began a new section last week, and we're just going to reread the first two paragraphs, and I'll read the third paragraph, which will be our new reading for this week. We're on page 415. In the Sparkle Edition, the subheading is Practical Forgiveness. It's at the very bottom of the page on 415. In the original edition, it is Chapter 17, Part 7. It's called Practical Forgiveness. And in the Foundation for Inner Peace edition, it's Chapter 17, Part 6. It's called Setting the Goal. Just a reminder for those of us who are following along in the FIP edition, if you notice any paragraph breaks that are different or subtle differences in the editing, that's just because I'm reading from the Sparkle edition. So here we go, practical forgiveness or setting the goal. The practical application of the Holy Spirit's purpose is extremely simple, but it is unequivocal. In fact, in order to be simple, it must be unequivocal. The simple is merely what is easily understood, and for this, it is apparent that it must be clear. The setting of the Holy Spirit's goal is general. Now he will work with you to make it specific. There are certain very specific guidelines he provides for any situation, but remember that you do not yet realize their universal application. Therefore, it is essential at this point to use them in each situation separately until you can more safely look beyond each situation in an understanding far broader than you now possess. In any situation in which you are uncertain, the first thing to consider very simply is, what do I want to come of this? What is it for? The clarification of the goal belongs at the beginning, for it is this which will determine the outcome. In the ego's procedure, this is reversed. The situation becomes the determiner of the outcome, which can be anything. The reason for this disorganized approach is evident. The ego does not know what it wants to come of it. It is aware of what it does not want, but only that. It has no positive goal at all. Without a clear-cut positive goal set at the outset, the situation just seems to happen and makes no sense until it has already happened. Then you look back at it and try to piece together what it must have meant, and you will be wrong. Not only is your judgment in the past, but you have no idea what should happen. No goal was set with which to bring the means in line. And now the only judgment left to make is whether or not the ego likes it. Is it acceptable, or does it call for vengeance? The absence of a criterion for outcome set in advance makes understanding doubtful and evaluation impossible. And there we will pause. Wow. So, again, just to recap the first two paragraphs here, this is prompting us in any situation to pause. Really, this is about pausing and inviting Holy Spirit in. This is about pausing and asking, do we want to proceed with ego, or do we want to proceed with Holy Spirit? That's what this is really prompting us to do, is to have that mindful awareness of Holy Spirit in any situation. This is pretty fascinating to say that without that, so I'm on to the third paragraph now that we just read. Without a clear-cut positive goal set at the outset, the situation just seems to happen, it makes no sense, then you look back at it and try to piece it together and you will be wrong. This is really funny because I think I may have mentioned last week, I'm going to digress for just a moment. Tuesday night is the first night that I am co-teaching a Miracle Share Academy class on undoing anxiety. It's 4 weeks, so it's four Tuesdays in June. And one of the things that I was possibly going to bring into that at some point is this idea of looking at our fear of God through many of the popular phrases that we use in our culture. And this paragraph to me is calling forth something that I hear all the time, and that's everything happens for a reason. Because what is the saying but that if you know, you haven't set a positive goal and the situation just happens and then you look back at it and you're like, oh, well, maybe that happened and maybe that's why that happened. It says you'll be wrong. So it just reminds me, rather than, for me, I used to have that saying tacked up everywhere. It was really helpful to me, and I am not bashing any of those sayings. They can be helpful for us depending on where we're at. But it was just an interesting thought to me that rather than thinking that everything happens for a reason, just thinking that I want to focus on Holy Spirit in every single situation. And that's just what was a reminder for me in this paragraph. So what has come up for you?
I actually had a situation. I've read this many times before, and it really is fascinating. And I this one particular time, I had these, like, cysts right to the left of the stomach area, and I felt really concerned about them. And I must have been reading this at that time because I brought it to the Holy Spirit and actually thought in my mind, you know, I made an appointment with the doctor and played out in my mind exactly how, what I wanted the outcome to be and how I wanted it to take place. And I'm not kidding. It was fascinating because that doctor said my thought was, I want to go in there, I want him to examine this, and I want him to say to me, no problem, this is no problem, don't worry about this, this is perfectly fine. It's exactly what he said. I mean, many times at work. I'm in these situations where I'm feeling not confident.
Uh-huh.
I go into those situations with the Holy Spirit, and I am blown away by the outcome.
Yeah.
And a lot of times it's really, I just want peace in this situation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't go into any how, but honestly, I believe you can have it exactly the way you want it. But the thought is really always just a peaceful, please, a peaceful outcome to all of this.
Yeah, a peaceful outcome. A happy outcome to all things.
A happy outcome.
The course lesson,
yeah.
That's beautiful. Beautiful, Paula. That's just the power, you know, of, I feel like your examples are just beautiful examples of not deciding necessarily from, you invited Holy Spirit in first, which is beautiful, and that's absolutely what this is prompting us to do, and that's awesome that it just unfolded and sort of became a witness for your choice for Holy Spirit.
Even in that situation with the little cat a couple of weeks ago, you know, having to take her to the I just knew, you know, the Holy Spirit was with us, and I knew it was going to be peaceful, even though I had to have her put down.
Mm-hmm.
It really was, the way it unfolded was the angels. I mean, everything, it was really quite amazing. And then to see the rainbow at the end, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, after
really
having
beautiful.
To do this, and then this beautiful rainbow,
mm-hmm.
was just confirmation.
Mm-hmm. That absolutely is. Absolutely, confirmation.
Yeah.
Go on, DJ.
Paula, I didn't mention this at the time because I didn't want to take away from what you were sharing about your cat, so I held back. But it reminded me so much of when my dad transitioned and left the body,
mm-hmm.
because the night that the morning that he passed, rather. I had spent the day with the evening with him before, and just had a clearing where I shared everything that was on my heart. And when he actually passed, I asked him to send me rainbows. I had a conversation with him, and I asked him to send me rainbows, and that same day he sent me, and I'm not kidding you, 6.
It was plural. You said rainbows.
Yeah, I said rainbows.
Rainbows. Oh, my God.
So when you were sharing about your kitty, I just was smiling and thinking about that experience as well, because the mind is joined, and we forget when we think that this, you know, the body is real and what we see with our eyes is real, but like the part of the mind that is eternal, I will literally still have conversations with my dad.
Oh, yeah.
In my mind, and your kitty is still with you. In fact, she's with your other kitty energetically.
Oh.
Right now. Yeah.
You know, maybe that's why Lucy seems so peaceful. I mean, it's like nothing ever happened.
Yeah, they're still playing and, you know, goofing around together.
Oh. That's so sweet.
Well, can I just interject? Hi, this is Carol.
Please.
Hi, Carol.
Hi. Everybody's talking about rainbows, and we just had a downpour, like a monsoon kind of thing, and my son comes running in, opens up the blind, and there's this huge rainbow.
That's awesome.
And I had a difficult day yesterday, and things balanced out. And for me, Deidre, my mom and I shared cardinals. We just loved cardinals.
Yeah.
And so I would always, you know, like I was driving to work this morning, and, you know, I was in good space, and I turned to go around the corner, and there was a cardinal. And I just say, thanks, Mom, thanks.
Yeah.
And I had a wonderful day, and it just is such an affirmation.
That is.
Yeah, beautiful.
Beautiful. Thank you, Carol.
Oh, you're welcome.
Let's read another paragraph. The value of deciding in advance what you want to happen is simply that you will perceive the situation as a means to make it happen. You will therefore make every effort to overlook what interferes with the accomplishment of your objective and concentrate on everything which helps you meet it. It is quite noticeable that this approach has brought you closer to the Holy Spirit's sorting out of truth and falsity. The true becomes what can be used to meet the goal. The false becomes the useless from this point of view. The situation now has meaning, but only because the goal has made it meaningful. So here again, it's just a reminder for me that by setting the goal at the beginning, which, and I'm talking, I guess, broadly, but not in a sense, with just the goal being for Holy Spirit, the goal being, you know, to have the situation repurposed so it's used on behalf of our awakening rather than on behalf of us staying asleep. And where it says in this paragraph, you'll make every effort to overlook what interferes with the accomplishment of your objective and concentrate on everything which helps you meet it, it's quite noticeable that this approach has brought you closer to the Holy Spirit sorting out of truth and falsity. And what is this? I mean, what is all of this about? But it's forgiveness. It's about letting the Holy Spirit do the forgiving, do the work for us. It's really about us stepping out of the way. And so that's just what stands out to me in this paragraph. The true is what becomes used to meet the goal, which is upheld by Holy Spirit because we're putting Holy Spirit in charge, and the false just falls away. Whatever ego is there just falls away. And the goal of truth has made the situation meaningful. And that's when the Course says, you know, this life becomes a meaningful encounter with the truth. It really does when we're putting Holy Spirit in charge. It becomes meaningful. Anything coming up?
For,
hi, Igor.
Yeah, it's Igor. I would like to say that, yeah, just like you said, Corinne, in first paragraph in sentence four, he said the Holy Spirit's, the setting of the Holy Spirit's goal is general, abstract, yeah, abstract. And in the workbook, Jesus says complete abstraction is the natural condition of the mind.
Right.
So it is natural to abstract, to think broadly and general. And, the Holy Spirit's goal is general, abstract, and works everywhere, every time. Because the Holy Spirit's goal for us is to be happy. It's happiness. Mm-hmm. God's will for me is perfect happiness. Lesson 101, yeah? So,
yeah.
And the ego's goal for us is to be upset, to keep be separate, but separation means sadness, because our nature is in oneness. Yeah?
Yeah,
that's why we might say that the ego's goal for us is to be unhappy. So, but we are working here about specific goals. So he says that the Holy Spirit's goal is general, but we will work about specific goals. And this fourth paragraph, deciding in advance what you want to happen, really, how amazingly it works if we even go specifically, like each and every situation. I mean, the whole this industry of business trainings, they use it for century already. They say, yeah, think and grow rich. Yeah, famous Napoleon
right.
Hill's book, right? Think and grow rich. So set a goal and everything will align to your goal. Or Henry Ford said, obstacles is something that you see when you move your eyes from the goal. See?
Oh,
so
right.
So the goal is the main thing. And many young people today, they do not have a goal. A lot of employers say so, that it's hard to recruit people right now. But it's only because they do not have a goal. You know, or they haven't figured out yet what their goal is. So we might think like, oh, I'm gonna just, you know, I just have to get a job in some corporation, and then that's it. It's done. You know, I'll get the money and I'll get the job and the mortgage and stuff like that. Yeah, but it never works like that. The goal, you have to have a goal, and all of the corporations, employments, and whatnot will align to reaching your goal. Like Henry Ford had a goal of presenting an affordable car, yeah? Or, you know, many other beautiful examples. So really, whatever goal you might have right now, to be a doctor, to be anyone, you have to keep this goal in mind, and all of the stuff will align to this goal. Yeah, and of course the ultimate goal, the best goal, is to follow along the Holy Spirit's guidance and to get back home in heaven, and to be happy. So
beautiful.
That's what I wanted to say. Thank you.
Awesome, Igor. Thank you so much for sharing that. You're absolutely right that I feel like what we're talking about is that, you know, there's this, the general goal, the Holy Spirit's general goal, which is universal in its application, how you said it works everywhere, every time. I loved how you said that. I also loved how you said the ego's goal is always for us to be upset, which is so true. I haven't heard the word upset used as the ego's goal before, and it's perfect because it absolutely is. And you know, you're right too, like the power of the mind with what I sort of think of here is the law of attraction, and how in a sense I feel like that's gotten sort of a bad reputation amongst course students, only in because it's usually used to get things, right? You know, I want that car, or I want that house or whatever. But this really is talking about the power of the mind, which is very strong. So thank you for sharing that. Other thoughts? Anything coming up for anyone else?
I had an experience recently that I think applies to this. I was, you know, I'm an artist, and I put a couple of paintings in there was an exhibit at the library or at the community house in Spring Lake. And there, you know, they had a nice reception, and after, you know, I left and didn't realize they were actually going to be taking pictures of the artists, and I don't know, I got the weekly newspaper, the Co-Star, the local paper, and here's a picture of all of the artists and their paintings, and I wasn't included in it. And I didn't really feel upset, but I just thought, it's unfortunate, you know, I didn't stay longer, this might have happened. Well, darn if I entered a painting in another exhibit recently, and with no intentions of other than just entering the painting. And it turns out I actually got an award for this painting.
Oh, wow.
And there's this whole reception, and this whole thing unfolds, and individually I have my picture taken with the painting, and I just thought,
wow,
this is really kind of cool. I mean, it happened better than I could ever even imagined.
Mm.
You know, what I was wanting unfolded in a way that was better than I ever could have even imagined.
Yeah, that's awesome.
But
that
there's something in, you know, when that originally happened and I saw the picture in the paper and of my, you know, of these other artists, and I wasn't included in it. I knew this was an ego response. You know, I knew it was an ego response, and I thought, you know what? I'm not going there. I'm happy for those people that they got their picture in the paper, and I'm letting this go. And I think there's something awesome about that, when you can catch that ego reaction.
There really is something very awesome about that. That's what this is all about, because when we start to see the ego's voice showing up, first we learn how to differentiate the two, between the ego and Holy Spirit. First we learn that only ego wants us to be upset, and Holy Spirit only wants us to be happy, only, ever, and Holy Spirit does not ever teach through pain. And so when we start to first differentiate those, we learn the difference there. We have to see the contrast. And then, like you're saying, Paula, there's that choice point that we always have as to which voice we're going to listen to. And it's not that as the Course says, the ego always speaks first and loudest. And it's not that we're going to stop having ego thoughts. It's that we have none that we would keep. So we hear it, and we say, you know what? No. Just like you said, you nailed it. Not going there, not doing that this time. And I've had that experience many times with, quote unquote, temptation in the ego trying to feed me a fear thought about something, like, ooh, this could mean this. You better go Google it. And, you know, of course, Google is like the end of the world. So, and it's just like, no, it's like, I'm not doing this anymore. I'm not doing this anymore. Thanks, ego. I appreciate you. I don't appreciate you, but I can maybe honor that you're trying to keep the body safe or something. I just, but I'm just not going to listen to you. And so that's that choice point that we have all the time, to listen to it and buy into it or not.
There's something really also wonderful about, because God, it's just what Igor just said before, God's will for us is happiness. He knows what's going to make us happy. Right around the same time as this happened, I had been running out of watercolors, and they were expensive. And I thought, oh, I'll make a list of what I need, and somewhere along the line I'll manage to get them. And kind of just let that go, too. The award was a $100 gift certificate to this art supply company. And all I can get, now the painting was watercolor, and it would only allow, I can only use that $100 for watercolors. So now I'm able to get all the watercolors that I need with this $100. I mean, I had the list. It's just, there's no accident, and chance plays no part in all of this,
right.
You know.
Right.
And it's just constantly trying to remember, Holy Spirit, take it.
Yeah.
You know the way.
Life should be fun like this. Like you're saying, it's about us being happy. It should be fun. And if it's a struggle, it's first of all, nothing to feel guilty about, but it's an opportunity to choose again, because it's supposed to flow like that and be fun and ease. I think I mentioned that word before. I love that word. Have that sense of ease. Awesome. Thank you for sharing, Paula. What a great example. And that's another then experience where we are allowing a block, a rock solid block of trust to be laid down in that foundation of the Holy Spirit rather than, you know, building our camp on the ego's shabby, muddy. The ego's foundation is mud and straw, and that's where we start out putting our faith in. And instead, we're shifting into realizing that the Holy Spirit's foundation is rock solid, and it's these little experiences that we have that build our trust in that solid foundation.
I think what you brought up too, Corinne, about the law of attraction is really interesting too, because it relates to what we're talking about tonight, you know, like, what is it for? That's what the text is saying. What is it for?
Yeah.
And that to me is the key. It's not the thing, because God is in everything.
Mm-hmm.
God is in everything, and God's will for us is perfect happiness. So it's okay to experience joy through painting, or, you know, one might argue that that's a thing, but it's not the thing. It's the energy, the spirit behind the thing. For me, in my experience, it's music. I love music. And so a lot of times, you know, I think sometimes the whole law of attraction thing gets misconstrued, like you were saying, about trying to get things. And that's really not the message.
right.
It's what do we use our experiences for, and that motivation behind it. So.
And how are we going to use our mind? How are we going to use our mind? Are we going to use it to miscreate and further go down the road of judgment and fear and ego? Or are we going to choose to use our mind to put Holy Spirit in charge and to learn how to listen and how to follow? How are we going to use the mind that we have, this decision maker?
Absolutely.
Excuse me,
awesome.
This is Carol again.
Hey, Carol.
I just have something to share. When I heard Deidre talk about her loving music, I was gifted. My son had given me a CD a number of months ago, and it's called A Chorus of Miracles by James Twyman. And so I play it when I'm in my car a lot. Just because it's a wonderful, wonderful mantra. And I watched three boys, and I had them yesterday, and today we went out, and I plugged the CD in. And the one boy in particular absolutely loves it. there's this one verse where it says, "I am entitled to miracles." And he says, and the other two, there's a set of twins who, I mean, they're 6 years old and 7 years old. And the one says, "Oh, this is your song. This is your song." And the other one, you know, I'm driving and I'm listening to this conversation. And he says, "Well, are you going to sing it?" And he said, "No." And then he said, "Will you sing Red Hot Chili Peppers?"
That's cute.
So I said, "Well, I'll sing it with you." But I
That's
mean,
so
it just
cute.
It touches my heart, because they're so open to hearing this beautiful, beautiful mantras.
Yeah,
and, you know,
wow.
It's just like, oh, good. I'm like infusing them with it.
That's awesome. I love it. Thank you for sharing, Carol.
Oh, you're welcome.
Oh, how about we read another paragraph? The goal of truth has further practical advantages. If the situation is used for truth and sanity, its outcome must be peace. And this is quite apart from what the outcome is. If peace is the condition of truth and sanity and cannot be without them, where peace is, they must be. Truth comes of itself. If you experience peace, it is because the truth has come to you, and you will see the outcome truly, for deception cannot prevail against you. And you will recognize the outcome because you are at peace. Here again, you see the opposite of the ego's way of looking, for the ego believes the situation brings the experience. The Holy Spirit knows that the situation is as the goal determines it and is experienced according to the goal. This is big. So let's reread. I'll just read the first three sentences of this paragraph. The goal of truth has further practical advantages. If the situation is used for truth and sanity, its outcome must be peace. And this is quite apart from what the outcome is. So in other words, ego will say, well, things are only going to be okay if the form, you know, if the external circumstances work out in this way, or, you know, they have to work out this way for me to be okay. And what this is saying is that if the situation is being used for truth and sanity, if we've turned to Holy Spirit and set the goal at the beginning to let the Holy Spirit's goal be in charge, to put the Holy Spirit in charge, it's saying the outcome must be peace, and this is quite apart from what the outcome is. Meaning, maybe the external circumstances won't go as ego would like or as we would like, but we're now using a different set of lenses to see the situation with. We're now using Holy Spirit's vision to see, and that's why we're still able, perhaps, to feel that peace, to feel that sanity, regardless of what the body's eyes tell us. So that's a big one. That reminds me, I know I've shared this before, but the morning, that September 11th, 2001, the morning that happened, I woke up and was in bed for a little bit before getting up and got this like deep, strong feeling of peace and love, and that all was well despite external circumstances, despite what the body's eyes see. And I had no idea, you know, when I turned on the TV that morning, what I was going to see. And that, to me, is an example of this, that if a situation, you know, my life, I'm constantly giving my life to Holy Spirit to be used for truth and sanity. And so to have that gift of seeing through a different set of eyes, through a different vision, before, you know, looking upon what you couldn't miss, obviously, all over the news, was a real gift for me and something that I'll never forget.
You know, this is very interesting because just going back to the cat, I'm sure my thought would have been, oh, maybe the vet can save her. Oh, Holy Spirit, make this, you know, make her well. But I never felt that way. I certainly didn't want to have to put her down. Mm-hmm. But I never felt that way. And even when it came to it, you know, it was a difficult decision to make. But there was a certain peace around it all that kind of. I was surprised by, you know, there was in background noise, like, you should really be upset about this. You should really be, you know, and of course I was upset, but not feeling like, oh my God, if they don't save this cat, I'm just, you know, it didn't matter.
Right. Right. Yeah, that's beautiful, Paula.
And I really think this paragraph explains that.
Mm-hmm, I agree. I absolutely agree.
And, you know, it's funny because I've wanted clarity on this.
What a gift.
Wow.
And it's showing up, right? I love that.
God.
And I love, too, how it says in this paragraph. Oh, go on, Igor.
Thank you. Thank you, Corinne. And again, in this paragraph 5, sentence 8, here again you see the opposite of the ego's way of looking, for the ego believes the situation brings the experience. Yeah. So the ego, again, the ego wants us to feel a victim. The ego wants us to never recall the fact that we are the authors of our experience. See, so the ego wants us to believe that this dream that we have projected is forcing us to feel something. So the ego believes the situation brings the experience. See, so it's not us who projected. So again, like in a movie theater, the ego wants us to believe that we are sitting in a chair in a movie theater, watching the picture, but the Holy Spirit tells us, no, you are not in a chair in the movie theater. You are in the very back projecting this whole picture on the screen. So our eyes are not the receivers of the signal. Our eyes are the projectors of the signal. So, and again, so that's why if something like 9/11 happens, what do I do with it? So I have been thinking some thoughts that had projected, ended up in this way. So what do I do with it? Do I make a war against, war against terror, war against drugs, war against, I don't know, anything? Or you know, do something else in the level, on the level of the form? Or do I just forgive myself for thinking the thoughts that have brought me this picture? So that's why Jesus in chapter 5, he says, the only meaningful prayer is for forgiveness. Imagine how many people were praying for, I don't know, for revenge, for justice, for healing, for not happening such thing again, like 9/11 or something. But no, this is we are trying to pull, to drag the Holy Spirit and God in here, in our dualistic insane dream of suffering, and we try to say to them, oh, look at this. This is real. This is really happening. This is how terrible it is. Look at this. This, but it never works this way. We are not pulling, we're not dragging them to this matrix. They are dragging us out of this matrix, reminding us that this is just a dream that you have projected, being very upset and angry on God. So everything is terrible here. But now forgive all this. Forgive yourself your madness, Jesus says in chapter 31. Forgive yourself your madness and go back to sanity. Go back home. Thank you.
Oh, Igor, thank you. That was beautiful and so helpful, because that's it. You said it beautifully, that we're the authors of our own experience. We're the ones dreaming this dream. There's nothing out there that's happening to us. We are the authors of our own experience, and I mean that on a, you know, again, from that unconscious place where we agreed to believe in that we're separate bodies, to believe that we're separate from God. And so the Course speaks about the ego script, and the ego script isn't something outside of us that the ego is doing to us. Again, we're the ones that are believing in the idea of an ego. And so that's so key. That's been so key for me, that idea that we're the authors of our own experience, because in everything that comes up in my life, I don't have to figure out how it's coming from me or how it is that I'm dreaming it, but I'm willing to be open to the fact that maybe I am the dreamer of my dream. And in that openness, there is my willingness to give it to Holy Spirit and to be willing to see it differently. So that was beautiful. Thank you for adding that.
I love the way you
did. Yeah, and I just a quick note that this, among so many other places, Jesus talks about it in Workbook Lesson 152, The Power of Decision is My Own, very powerfully, where he says no one can suffer loss unless it be his own decision.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Beautiful.
Mm-hmm. That is really the crux of it right there.
It is.
Where the rubber meets the road, that one.
Yeah.
I love the way you just said your willingness, Corinne. You know, because the Course also says there is no death. I'm willing to believe that. I'm willing to get that from, you know, my head to my heart. But that's the best I can do, is be willing.
Yes. Absolutely, 100%. And I think we're all 100% joined in that willingness to know, to learn that there is no death. that is all we can do, because if we're not doing that, what are we doing but then trying to intellectually get it, you know, trying to figure it out. And that's where when we have questions, you know, those questions of like, well, what do I do next? Or, you know, it really comes down to just, for me, sinking my feet into just, I'm trusting, you know, I'm not gonna budge from being willing to trust. Not even, maybe my trust isn't even perfect, but I'm willing to trust.
Oh, it's not always perfect on my part. Oh, I love that. Thank you for that, Corinne.
Yeah.
That makes more sense than anything.
Oh, good. Good. Let's read the next paragraph. The goal of truth requires faith. Faith is implicit in the acceptance of the Holy Spirit's purpose, and this faith is all-inclusive. Where the goal of truth is set, their faith must be. The Holy Spirit sees the situation as a whole. The goal establishes the fact that everyone involved in it will play his part in its accomplishment. This is inevitable. No one will fail in anything. This seems to ask for faith beyond you and beyond what you can give. Yet this is so only from the viewpoint of the ego, for the ego believes in solving conflict through fragmentation and does not perceive the situation as a whole. Therefore, it seeks to split off segments of the situation and deal with them separately, for it has faith in separation and not in wholeness. That, to me, just immediately brings up this idea that how the ego wants to just problem solve apart from spirit. It wants to take its little problem in its hands and turn away from the light and mull it over and figure out how is it that we're going to fix this.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, that's not what we're asked to do. There's a much easier way. We can dabble in that as long as we want, but it's not going to make us happy.
Well, the thing, this was such a huge revelation the first time I took Lisa Natoli's 40-day program, is that until you have the awareness that there actually is another way, there isn't a knowing that there's an addiction to suffering and pain. Like, there's not an awareness, a conscious awareness that it's actually an addiction that you're feeding.
Right.
Without
beautiful
knowing.
I love that.
Yeah,
I love that. It's so true. I feel moved. We're going to finish up this section tonight, so let's read the next. We have two paragraphs left. Let's read the next one. Confronted with any aspect of the situation which seems to be difficult, the ego will attempt to take this aspect elsewhere and resolve it there. And it will seem to be successful, except that this attempt conflicts with unity and must obscure the goal of truth. And peace will not be experienced except in fantasy. Truth has not come because faith has been denied, being withheld from where it rightfully belonged. Thus, do you lose the understanding of the situation the goal of truth would bring? For fantasy solutions bring but the illusion of experience, and the illusion of peace is not the condition in which the truth can enter. I actually have an example of this. I know someone who I would not have said as a spiritual person, I don't think this person would have thought of themselves that way, or I think they would have agreed with me that they're not a spiritual person, and this person was starting to recognize the futility of the world, and even though they have a great life, there was a sense of unhappiness. And to my delight, I was recommending these spiritual books, which this person was asking for and, you know, open to exploring. And ultimately, rather than go down that path, this person just decided to really heavily get into exercise, which, no judgment there, because when you're not ready, you're not ready. You know, when you are ready, you are ready. But to me, that's that's an example of what this is talking about, that, you know, the ego attempts to take a problem, which let's say is just a vague sense of unhappiness for no reason, and take it elsewhere and try to resolve it there. And you know, the solution that this person experienced is seeming peace because, you know, they're really happy with their level of physical fitness. But this is saying that peace will not be experienced except in fantasy. You know, we know that that is not the type of peace that's going to last. So that's just an example that just came forward for me as we were reading this.
Wow.
It's not the illusion of peace that we're looking for. I know that for all of us, because we wouldn't be here.
Before I got involved with the Course in Miracles, I was reading one self-help book after the next, and I'd feel this great sense of peace come over me and feel like, oh, yeah, this is really good. This is it. Yeah, this is it. And within 5 minutes, I was right back in the, And the Course in Miracles, just when it finally came into my life, it was like, oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't stopped reading it in 30 years.
Yeah, I've never put it down either.
I never put it down.
Same here.
Yeah, this is very very beautiful, right to the point statement. Paula, was it? Yeah. So we have brainwashed ourselves so much into believing to the ego. So right now we have to walk through yet another brainwashing to undo all this. And that's what Course in Miracles is. It's just brainwashing, right? It says the same thing on each page, and you read like this workbook, 365 lessons, at least, at the very least, is a year-long study. And, you know, I have a Vedic background. Before the Course in Miracles, I was in a Vedic. And they have a beautiful story. Like the guys bought a piece of land, and very cheap. The price was very cheap. They were so excited, amazed by how cheap they bought a piece of land. But then when they came there, they realized that it was a setup. It was a trap, because the whole earth was full of bad weed. Yeah, bad weed. Nothing grows there. You cannot get rid of this weed even. So it's so strong, so powerful. And but then those guys decided to look for Vedic books, and they found a recipe how to get rid of this weed. And the recipe was this: you have to plow the land in one direction and in another direction, and then crossing in another direction, so kind of from west to east, and from east to west, and then from north to south, from south to north, each day in the morning and in the evening for 6 months.
Wow.
Because the reason for this, because this weed is so stupid. It is so stupid. It is so, you know, slow. Okay. And you plow it, you try to kill it, and it doesn't understand that it's being killed. So, and only after 6 months of plowing each day two times a day, it kind of realizes, oh yeah, I'm not welcomed here anymore. So I gotta get out of here. And they did all this, and it turned out to be a, you know, success story. But the thing is that our brain right now is just in the same condition of this bad weed.
Yep.
You see,
when
we go to the study group, we read, yes, forgiveness, yes, I'm not a victim, yes, it's so far, so
wow.
But then study group ends and we go out there and we're like, oh, this is just a kid. and again and again. So we need this process of plowing our mind again and again and again to get it.
I'll tell you, though, after 30 years, I can observe it at least. I can observe that crazy background noise. And
right,
just say,
right.
Nah, I'm not going to do it. Nope.
Right.
I'm not guilty.
Oh,
not going
Igor,
there.
Thank you for that. That was so funny.
It
and
fabulous.
And so true. It was really fabulous. Let's actually wrap up our time together with the last paragraph. The substitutes for aspects of the situation are the witnesses to your lack of faith. They demonstrate that you did not believe that the situation and the problem were in the same place. The problem was the lack of faith, and it is this you demonstrate when you remove it from its source and place it elsewhere. As a result, you do not see the problem. Had you not lacked the faith, it could be solved. The problem would be gone. Had you not lacked the faith, it could be solved. The problem would be gone. And the situation would have been meaningful to you because the interference in the way of understanding would have been removed. To remove the problem elsewhere is to keep it, for you remove yourself from it and make it unsolvable. And I read that last sentence, for you remove yourself with the capital S self from it and make it unsolvable. So this is so clear that if there's a question there, the answer is faith. The answer is, again, willingness to have faith, willingness to trust. Our willingness, our trust, our faith doesn't have to be perfect. We just have to be willing to go there. So any final thoughts or questions before we wrap up?
Corinne.
Yeah.
Hi, this is Marie. Would you
Hi,
explain
Marie.
That last sentence? Hey, would you explain that last sentence more? Because you said you were reading yourself as the capital S self.
Yeah, yeah.
Can
so
you
when respond we
to go in depth a little bit? Go ahead.
Absolutely. So just like we were reading before, or talking even before about the idea about the ego wanting to problem solve by itself. So,
yes.
You know, a problem shows up and it's like, oh, how am I going to fix this? And we sometimes forget to say to Holy Spirit or Jesus, help, help. You know, I don't know the answer. I'm unclear. Help. And even giving, you know, imagine giving that problem to Holy Spirit. So instead of doing that, we'll often try to fix the problem alone with ego, and that is to keep the problem. Because the problem is only, again, ever our belief that we're separate, right? It's a belief
right.
of separation.
Right.
So if we've removed ourselves, I want to try to say this as clearly as possible and as succinctly. If we are problem solving alone, we've
okay.
shut out ourselves. We've pushed away ourselves from the problem. Ourself, with a capital S, is Holy Spirit, is truth. If we're pushing Holy Spirit and truth out, we've now made that problem unsolvable because we can't solve it alone. We can't get out of
okay.
the dream state by ourselves. We need a thought system outside of this to help us. So does that
okay.
help?
It does.
Because
to remove the problem elsewhere is to keep it means I'm trying to solve it from an ego standpoint. Is that what
right.
you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay. That's,
exactly. I'm trying to solve it in the forum, again, like this 9/11 and the war on terror, yeah?
Uh-huh.
Or war on drugs, for example. How many centuries war on drugs is happening, but is there any less drugs right now, right? And the same thing
right.
with terror. We do war on terror, and is there really any less terror right now?
Right.
So
right.
exactly,
right.
we're trying to solve it. We're trying to solve it in the level of the form and without going deep on the level of the mind, on the level of the cause, not effect.
Yes.
That's
perfect.
That's a great example, too. Thank you so much.
God, it is. I remember you sharing that before, Igor, just about,
it's
the war
it's
on terror, then we're doing terrorism, like, with trying to fix
mm-hmm.
it on
on this level. That's perfect.
Isn't there the lesson that you make what you defend against? And that's what
Something Lisa has done, Lisa Natori, which I find really helpful because it was a visual thing, but she draws two circles. And she talks about how the ego thought system and the Holy Spirit's thought system, they never meet because Holy Spirit knows nothing of something that's not true, right? So if you're trying to solve something from the very thought system that created it, well, then you're in a pickle, aren't you?
Yeah, exactly.
Definitely a pickle. Awesome. Thank you for that. That was really helpful. I like thinking about it visually with those two different circles that don't overlap at all.
Yeah, that's Lisa's example. So thank you, Lisa.
Awesome. Thank you, Lisa. Oh, beautiful. All right. Well, thank you so much, everybody. This is such an enjoyable call. It's really fun. Mm-hmm. And I am giving you all a big group hug. Thank you so much. And
thank you.
We'll see you all next week.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Bye, everybody.
Love you.
Bye-bye.
Love you, too.
Love you all. Bye.